And welcome back to In Focus 951. Just about 9 minutes left here in this Wednesday edition of In Focus. Brady Bowman with you, with Assistant Professor of Political Science at K-State, Dr. Nate Burkhead. And just got about 10 minutes left, and we're just now getting to talk about President Trump. I didn't really expect that, didn't plan it, but that's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, where do you really begin there?
Well, Nate? We can sort of segue from our previous conversation into this one by saying that, so as we talked about before, there's some competing coalitions in the Republican Party in terms of how to handle healthcare, how to handle tax cuts. There's a lot of, just because you're one party doesn't mean that you're all on the same page, right? Like, there actually can be a lot of different views on policy all housed within one party, the Democrats or Republicans. In this case, there's different coalitions in the Republican Party in Congress that are trying to sort of fight for leading policy in their preferred direction. And sometimes what they're going to do is look to the president to say, hey, settle this between us, right? It's sort of, you know, you got two friends who are trying to decide where to go to eat, and they both look to you, right? And you can either be helpful, and you can say, okay, no, we're going to go to Wendy's instead of McDonald's, right? Or you could just say, I don't know, whatever you guys want to do.
And then I usually do.
That's the worst.
I know.
Wind up doing is just allowing those two coalitions to continue to fight rather than actually settling a dispute and moving on. And so what winds up happening at the end of the night is you're both hungry and also irritated with one another. And so ultimately, that's sort of what we're seeing some of the Republicans of the House do, is look to the president for some leadership there. But what's important to note about President Trump is that rather than being like policy focused, right, and rather than really being too concerned about this rather than that, what the president really wants is just to have an achievement that he can trumpet as an achievement, right? And what he really wants is some sort of legislative victory. But as far as he's concerned, it doesn't appear that he really cares too much about exactly what color that victory is, or sort of the tenor of that victory. He just wants something that he can claim as a victory. And so what that's doing is effectively passing the buck, right? He's effectively sort of just like saying between these two different coalitions, hey, you sat it out. I just want something that will be passed. And that's an interesting shift, is that we've had presidents the past several generations. I mean, so you, from Reagan on till the second President Bush and then well into Obama as well, those presidents had very clear policy goals about what they wanted to achieve, and they weren't going to really compromise on that. And ultimately, President Trump is actually so flexible in a lot of respects that I think that Congress is a little bit paralyzed by it. I think that kind of speaks to that flexibility that you see that President Trump has. You can also see in other forms as well. We were speaking over the break about the organization of the White House. Typically, what's speaking is the presidents will have a chief of staff, and that chief of staff will be tasked and sort of have the powers to really dramatically shape how things go on within the executive office. The president doesn't have one chief of staff. He seems to have somewhere between 3 and 5.
And it seems like whoever is the chief of staff, he's on kind of thin ice anyway, and there's always rumors about him getting fired.
Absolutely. And so it's a really dynamic process, and I think that it's one that, you know, you've got Rince Priebus, and then you've got also Steve Bannon, and you've got Jared Kushner, and then you also have some sort of the confidants as well, like people like Jeff Sessions, who are still really influencing the president as well. And as a consequence, you have all these different circles of power. Each of those individual actors, Kushner, Priebus, and Bannon, they each have their own advisors. They each have their own staffs. And the president will seem to sort of delegate some powers to some and rather than others. And so it's a really kind of a disorganized process, which I think the president prefers. I think he kind of likes the chaos, and I think he kind of likes to undercut one person and sort of elevate the other, with the sort of the goal being to maybe try to motivate them all to work harder. The challenge in scaling that from sort of the business world to the political world is that leads to a lot of inconsistencies. And I think that's part of where we're seeing a lot of inconsistencies from the president as well, is that, you know, it's kind of depending on whose ear who has the president's ear at a particular time can lead to different statements, different approaches, and the rest. But that doesn't just matter for sort of consistency's sake. What that also matters is that that's part of why we're seeing so many of the leaks that are going on, right? So much of what's going on, I'm not talking about leaks sort of, say, from from the intelligence community into the press or something else like that, but just within the White House, you're seeing, you know, if you can find, you can kind of spot, like, the leaks are favorable to Kushner, oh, that probably came from Kushner's group. Oh, the leaks are favorable to Bannon, oh, that probably came from Bannon's group, right? And so what you find is that these different aides are undercutting one another. And what ultimately we don't really have is kind of an adult in the room who can kind of make everybody just kind of sit down and then just work on the same team.
Well, Mueller, the new, the former FBI director that's been put as the special prosecutor?
Special investigation. Yeah,
and that's so, right. Yeah, he seems like a guy with that sort of bravado, if you will, as far as being a very down to business sort of guy.
So he's wholly out of the White House, right? So,
right.
You know, he's in charge. He's been tasked with the investigation into the Trump White House to try to determine the extent to which there's any sort of collusion between the White House and Russia. Right now, we don't have any evidence of this, right? But like, there's a lot of different aspects that look have caused a lot of people to look pretty closely at this. So Mueller is the former head of the FBI. He's got a really strong reputation as just being a really, just as you say, like a real straight shooter, right? He came through the FBI. He's a really tough cop. And ultimately, he's the sort of person I think that makes everybody happy, right? Ultimately, Republicans and Democrats, because if you know, the Democrats will be satisfied that if there's something there, Mueller will find it. Republicans say, look, if Mueller finds that there's nothing there, then we're going to have to believe that, right? And I think that Mueller is, I think, uniquely suited to this position, and I think he's going to do again whatever he finds, I think, is going to be the correct answer, and I think that's a fantastic position for us to be in. The problem for kind of everybody involved is that part of that being a really good cop, part of that sort of that bureaucratic sort of ethos that he's really got about just getting the right answer. That's typically a slow, methodical process.
And it will be. The whole thing with all the investigations, Kushner's being investigated as well.
That's right.
And he's the son-in-law, which, I mean, even that on its own, that's kind of an odd thing as far as having the son-in-law at that high of a post in the White House. But these sort of things take time. And I know it's been very cliche to go back to Watergate and use that as reference, but for the sake of it, people forget that was a process. Nixon served a whole first term, and it wasn't 2 years into his second term until that really kind of got to the Watergate that we know now.
Sure. I hesitate. I'm one of the really wants to put water on sort of the comparisons between sort of what's going on currently and the Watergate break-in. But I think what's important is that, yeah, this is going to be a very slow process. And so for people who are tired about talking about Trump and Russia, bad news is that that's not going to go away. For people who think that, this is going to be wrapped up really quickly, that's also not going, it's just not going to go away either. Right. And so we're going to be just settle in, get some popcorn. It's going to take a while.
It will, and I hope everybody had their popcorn on this hour, because I wish I did. I certainly enjoyed it. But Nate, really appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
That's great. Thanks for being
appreciate here. Appreciate it. Dave, I tee it off to you, sir.
Why, thank you. It's raining, and I've had reports of some small hail.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of came out of the front that just kind of swooped down here, and, you know, our forecast all morning long and still talks about rain this afternoon, but no mention of any rain here in the morning. But hey, it's raining.
Okay.
So Nate, when you go outside, you know your shirt's going to get wet.
Man, I hope I didn't roll my windows down.
Well, I better check that.
Yeah.
I'll go look for you, Dave.
Oh, thanks. That's mighty kind of you. Tomorrow on K-Man's In Focus, join us at the program where our guests include Marty Veneer from NBAF. And we'll also hear from Perry Wiggins of the Governor's Military Council.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of Manhattan encourages you to keep your business in the community. KMAN, Manhattan.